I want to begin by just telling a little story I heard recently. A little boy who decided one day he wanted to go visit God. He knew it was going to be a long trip, so he got his little suitcase out, put some Twinkies in there, and a six-pack of root beer, and he went off. He went about 3 blocks and got to the park and saw an older man there sitting on the bench feeding the pigeons. So he sat down beside the old man. He's getting hungry, so he opened up his suitcase, took out a root beer, looked over to the man and thought, well, he must be hungry. So he took a Twinkies and gave him a Twinkie. The man smiled at him. And he liked the smile, so he offered him a root beer. This man smiled even better. They just couldn't believe the smile he was receiving from this man. So they ate there and drank there all day. When the sunrise began to come down, the boy decided, well, it's about time I go home. So he got everything together in his suitcase and started walking away and then stopped, turned around, ran to the old man and gave him a big hug. And the man just completely smiled at him. He loved it. He got home and the mother said, well, where were you all day? Well, I was meeting God. You know, God has a wonderful smile. And meanwhile, when he said that, the older man came home and his son was there. And son goes, Dad, you look so happy. What happened today? He goes, well, you know, I was in the park and I met God. And you know what? God's much smaller and younger than I thought he'd be. But they're witnessing to each other the presence of God. Through a smile, through a hug, witnessing. The readings today, especially the first reading in the gospel, both have the word witness. We're called to witness what's going on. And at the very end of the gospel today, he goes, so you are witnesses to these things. What are these things we're witnesses to? So the two men who were on the journey to Emmaus and experienced Jesus, the risen Lord, and the breaking of the bread, they couldn't help but tell the story, what they're witnessing to the disciples. We saw the risen Lord in the breaking of the bread. And as they're telling the story, Jesus appeared to them. Right there in the room. The room was locked, and he appeared right in before them. And they were frightened. Wouldn't you be? I mean, you saw him die. And all of a sudden, they think he's a ghost. And they're frightened. Yet, Jesus says, look at my hands. Look at my side. Look at everything. Touch me. It really is me. I'm not a ghost. It really is me. But he just appeared to them. Just appeared in the room. But I'm not a ghost. Matter of fact, give me something to eat. A ghost can't eat. Give me something to eat. To really prove the fact, and Luke's telling the story, to prove the fact he has risen. He's obviously different, but he's the same person who died. He's risen. And Jesus goes on to tell them, the very first thing he says to them when he appears to them is, peace be with you. The first thing he says. He probably said it in Hebrew. Shalom Aleichem. And it's not a greeting like, hey, I've been gone for a while, how are you doing? That's what shalom means. It means the fullness of life. It's the wish of the fullness of life. It's a blessing of the fullness of life where there's people are reconciled to each other. We're not apart from each other. We're reconciled to God. We're reconciled to each other. We're forgiven. That's the peace he offers us. So think about it when we offer peace today. It's not like the 60s. It's much more about wanting fullness of life, of wanting forgiveness and reconciliation, because we cannot bring it to ourselves. It's only Christ who offers it. So he says, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. That's what he wants to give them. They're frightened, but he wants to give them peace. And then he even says, what's going on here? He explains to them, as he did to the people, the two men who went to Emmaus. This was all part of the plan. I was to suffer, die, and rise on the third day. It's the fulfillment of what was done in the scriptures, and the prophets, and the Psalms. I'm fulfilling this. This is not new. You know this. And this is the significant part. He says, I've come to expiate or to end all the sin in the world for the repentance, for forgiveness. So I'm here to bring forgiveness. Isn't that what shalom is? Peace, fullness of life, forgiveness, reconciliation. I've come to give that. And he says, and you are witnesses to this, to all these things, but he's come to do. So what does it mean for us to be witnesses of the resurrection? Witnesses of shalom. What does it mean for us to believe that Christ has truly risen? Even in the second reading, first letter of John, he says, he's come to reconcile us to one another. That's why he's here, to show forgiveness. So how am I witnessing this? First of all, I think we need to look at, I heard the first story is, how do we witness the resurrection through a smile, through a hug? That's the first witness we can do. It's not just with the words, but with our actions. So even when he says, you are to witness the reconciliation, that's just to say, Christ is risen, he's forgiven us, and that's good enough. It's to live it. That's the witness, to live it. Matter of fact, in the early church, the word witness, testimony, they used a different word for that. It was called, you are not only a witness, you are a martyr. Martyr is the Greek for witness, testimony, testify. People testified even with their lives. We call them today martyrs. They testify, they're witnesses of the good news of Jesus Christ to bring reconciliation to the whole world. And believe me, we need it, don't we? I need it personally, but we need it also in our society, in our world. We need peace, the shalom that Jesus offers. I remember when my brother Dan was dying of cancer, and I was at a meeting with my Crozier community, and we were having prayer. We were having a prayer together, nice beautiful prayer service. I knew he was dying. I didn't know when. I knew he was dying, so I had a great prayer service. I was praying for him. It was marvelous. And after the prayer service, I went to the sacristy to put things away, and I got a phone call. Phone call said, Dan died. Okay, and I just turned, and I started crying. I knew he was dying, but I was crying. I know he died. Well, that same day was one of my other confrere, Father Tom, this is his birthday. So we're celebrating his birthday that night with cake and ice cream that evening, and he saw me in the sacristy. He came in. This is the birthday boy coming in, waiting to celebrate his birthday, and he sees me crying. And he said, what happened? I said, my brother died. He just came over to me and hugged me and said, we're here for you. That's the witness of the resurrection. I'm not alone in my pain. I'm not alone. I'm not saying, come on, get over it. You can get through this. No, it's just, I'm here for you. That's a witness. My twin sister got married to this man, David. None of my brothers liked David. He didn't like Catholics, but that didn't help, you know. One day, I got news from my sister that he was unfaithful. And all my brothers said, divorce him. Remember, they don't like him. Divorce him. And my one sister, Mary, said, well, if my husband cheated on me, he's gone. And my sister said, but I love him. I need to forgive him. And we need to get counseling because I can't live this way. But she was willing to forgive. It wasn't easy. I'm not like, what you did was okay. No, it was not okay. So they needed counseling. But she goes, I love him so much, I want to forgive him. So she's willing to do the process of forgiveness. Our society says, if you're hurt, you have every right to hurt back. Every right. Every right to hate the person who hurt you. You have every right. I think our Christianity says, when you're hurt, you have every right to feel the hurt, and it's terrible. We also have every right as a witness that Christ has offered forgiveness. It's not the easiest thing. I hear confessions constant, people saying, I can't forgive this person. I can't forgive that person. We can't without the grace of God. We can't forgive If we're only concerned about our pain and hurt, we can't forgive. We need to realize what Christ can do in our life, how he can change it. Our witness, I think the best witness as Christians is not saying we're always loving each other, because we don't. Okay? The big, great witness of the Christians is we can forgive each other because we fail. We know we fail. They're willing to forgive. Yeah, that's one of the hardest things it is to live as Christians, to be the witness of the shalom that Jesus offers us. The invitation for us today is to be martyrs. English translation, to be witnesses. And it's hard. I can't imagine how the early church did it. It's hard even now. It's only through the grace of God. And maybe it will help to start with a smile and a hug.